Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Football Talk from the Yorkshire Post, where we'll be discussing some of the latest talking points from the world of football with members of our football writing team. On this week's episode, we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wapshaw, to discuss all of the latest developments affecting our local clubs. Don't forget you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging onto our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, as well as checking out our various Twitter feeds, the main one being at YP Sport. If you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. And if you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com.
yorkshirepost.co.uk.
As mentioned earlier in the intro, this week we're joined by Chief Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Stuart Rayner, and Football Writer for the Yorkshire Post, Leon Wapshaw. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Right, this week saw Bradford City's home game against Salford City postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Harrogate Town also saw their game against Sutton United called off for the same reason. Doncaster Rovers claimed a point against Accrington Stanley. Barnsley claimed a 3-1 victory over Reading, and Hull City suffered a 2-0 defeat at Queen's Park Rangers. And we'll also be covering them a little bit more in this episode. But before that, however, we start in the Premier League, where Sheffield United claimed all 3 points with a 1-0 victory through James McAtee when they welcomed Brentford to Bramall Lane. Now, how much of a boost could this be to Chris Wilder's side with a trip to Stamford Bridge next on their list of December fixtures, Stuart?
Oh, absolutely massive, Mark. I mean, let's be honest, any win at the moment for Sheffield United, for Luton, for Burnley, for the teams down there, is just a huge boost. And just to see, you know, plans come to fruition and for a win to come about is massive. I think with the greatest of respect to Brentford, who've got a lot of injuries at the moment, and obviously got Ivan Toney missing, as we all know, that sort of game at home is one that you really want to take advantage of. You know, make full use of the atmosphere at Bramall Lane, which was great. You know, it probably goes without saying for people who weren't there, with it being only Chris Wilder's second game back, his first weekend game in charge of them. And there was a really positive feel about them. You know, we talked in last week's podcast about, you know, all the good things that came from their defeat at Liverpool. And, you know, the textbook thing all the way through was, I guess, well, you need to put in a good performance against Liverpool. You possibly need to accept that Liverpool might be better, it might well be better than you on the day if things click. But then you need to go one further against Brentford and put the performance together with the result. And that's what they were able to do with a, you know, absolutely brilliant goal from James McAtee.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was the next building block, wasn't it, Stuart? I mean, not too many fans would have had them down to take anything against Liverpool, but I think what they were wanting was evidence of a more Sheffield United type performance in the, you know, in the best traditions of the time under Chris Wilder. You know, front foot aggressive in the face of opponents, intense, and they got that. But obviously, the second home game was with respect to Brentford, was a different point entirely, wasn't it? That was the chance for points gathering, and this stayed on messaging in that regard. And you know, by all accounts, it was a bit like the good old days, I suppose, under Wilder there. And you know, pleasing for him as well. I mean, he sort of spoken at length about how he thought that the lack of fans in the relegation season had a big effect upon Sheffield United. And I think people who, you know, watch football like myself and Stuart, you know, sorry, the manager's talking about the influence of fans, but I think he had a point there when he was, you know, talking about Bramall Lane being raucous and, you know, that 12-man element, and Sheffield United did miss that. So, you know, pleasing for him in that regard. And, yeah, I mean, I think he's shown some sort of, you know, courage as well in giving, you know, the likes of Brooks and Asula, who, you know, among the better performers against Liverpool, giving them a chance in the next game as well. And by all accounts, you know, Brooks had another good game, another standing ovation. But yeah, the crucial thing that they backed up a performance with points. And the fact they've got two away games now sort of highlighted the fact that they needed something. And they're going to Chelsea. And look, I mean, Chelsea have had their ups and downs, but you know, will be favourites. But I'm not totally dismissing United from getting something there.
Yeah. Oh, you know, as Liam says, Chelsea have got lots of injuries. It just doesn't seem to have happened for them this year, never mind this season. And you know, when you look at it, we talk a lot between the pair of us about, you know, targeting this game and targeting that game. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to have to pick up points somewhere unexpectedly. Yeah. You know, we've seen Luton take a point off Liverpool. You know, we very nearly saw them take one off Arsenal and even Manchester City to an extent. You are going to have. You can't just write games off, and you are going to have to pick something up along the line. And, you know, I think the encouraging thing about the Brentford game, as we said, sort of building on Liverpool, it was the way they won it. It was, in all honesty, it was a pretty low-quality game. It was a real arm wrestle of a game. But the point was that they had the qualities to come through that, and that's what they're going to need in every game, because more often than not, the opposition are going to be quite frank, have more talent than them. So they really can't afford to be outworked as they were in a couple of games towards the end against Paul Heckingbottom. And as I said in my piece on the Monday, you know, you can't get by on that alone in the Premier League. They still needed that flicker of quality, but James McAtee provided that. And they do have players. Brooks has already shown it in his short time. You know, McAtee's got it. We know Hamer's got it in him. Arch has got it in him to just produce those moments, but you need that foundation first so that those moments can make a difference, not just be, you know, consolation moments in a whatever, a 3-1 defeat, a 4-1 defeat. I guess the thing now that I'm certain, you know, I'm speaking before Chris Wilder's press conference ahead of the Chelsea game, and I bet you any money he's going to be banging the drum about, yeah, the level's been set now in terms of effort and all those things. There can't be any slacking up at Chelsea, at Aston Villa, at, you know, against Luton, against Manchester City. That's the real message for them. They've set a standard in terms of those ugly qualities of the game, and they really have to keep them up.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the sort of away games, they've got Chelsea, then they've got, is it Villa, and then they've got City to end the year. I mean, the greatest will in the world. Chelsea's the, I'd say easier, but the less the rather less daunting one than the other two. You know, it's very hard to see them getting anything from Villa and Manchester City. But yeah, if they can get something from Chelsea, and obviously got another huge game in the season on Boxing Day against Luton. You know, it's easy to look forward. But they can get 4 points from those games, and obviously they've got the win against Brentford. Then that's at least something, isn't it, to take into the new year? But obviously, a long way to go until then.
I think the thing is as well, if you don't take points from any game, the important thing, like that Liverpool game, is to take, you know, some pride from it, to take something from it. That's the thing, isn't it? And I said that's what's been good to see in these first two Wilder games, that there's been that foundation, there's been that determination. The trouble with the Burnley and the Bournemouth defeats was they really had absolutely nothing going for them, because there wasn't even that, you know, underlying fight. So yes, whilst in all honesty, I mean, Aston Villa have won, what, 15 straight home games? You know, we all know what Manchester City are. As Leon says, you'd be a very brave man to bet on either of those not being a home win. But they can still come away with something sort of psychologically. And I say, hopefully against Chelsea, they can go on further. Although, you know, I don't think either of us want to give the impression that it's going to be easy, because it's certainly not going to be easy at Chelsea. No. It's just that the least daunting of the three, isn't it? Is we're trying to make.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is spoke about earning the trust of the fans, didn't he, before the first home game against Liverpool, and repairing some of the damage. Right? And, you know, they managed to do that. The fans have got back on side. I think, crucially, the players as well have got something to believe in as well. You know, as Stuart said, you know, he plays some of these top sides, you're not expected to take anything but get a performance out of it. Liverpool, you know, Sheffield United got that against Liverpool, and then they sort of backed it up with points. So I think it was useful that, you know, the first two games in Wilder's tenure were both at home, and I think that's worked for him. But it's obviously all about the next step now.
And next, we turn our attention to Leeds United, who claimed a 2-0 victory over Blackburn Rovers with goals from Dan James and Crescencio Somerville being enough for Leeds to claim all 3 points. This was then followed up by a frustrating 1-0 defeat when they paid a visit to the Stadium of Light to face Sunderland, which brought their 7-game run without a defeat to an end. What was your assessment of the games, and with a visit from Coventry City on the cards next, how could we see them heading into that game, Leon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously disappointing from a Leeds respect, losing to Sunderland in midweek, but I think it's important as well not to be too overly harsh upon them. I mean, the Championship, you know, bumps in the road do happen, and I mean, fairness to Leeds, the ones that they've had this season, they've usually, you know, reacted straight away with a win. I mean, they lost, they lose at Stoke and trounced Huddersfield in the game after that. And there's been one or two other occasions as well. And you know, in fairness, you know, going to Blackburn, who you know, a decent footballing side and in the mix, they've got the division's top scorer. That, you know, that was a pretty, you know, testing examination. And Sunderland as well, you know, obviously they come into the part of company with Tony Mowbray recently, but they've got a good result and probably an unexpected one against West Brom. And, you know, that was a tough game as well, you know, back-to-back away games. So, you know, 3 points out of six, you know, not perfect, but not disastrous all the same. And I think it's probably made to look a little bit worse by the fact that obviously Ipswich and Leicester won. But I wouldn't be too... you know, we've still got to remember how, you know, the halfway point in the season, and it's been a pretty solid and strong first half for Leeds. And you know, I've spoken about it before on podcasts. You know, good sides don't lose two in a row. And, you know, from the Leeds respect, they've got two home games now in succession. Very, very strong, reassuringly strong at home. And yeah, I mean, it's about getting back on the road, and, you know, 6 points, and, you know, certainly the you know, we've spoken about this before, huge game against Ipswich on the 23rd. That's probably even that little bit bigger now after what's happened in midweek. And you know, it's about Leeds getting some back on the horse, a bit of momentum again by getting 3 points against Coventry, which will be a test. They've got some decent players, and they're just sort of finding the feet after, you know, a big changeover in the summer. Lost, you know, a couple of the big hitters in Gorkarez and Aimer, and they brought a few new players in, but, you know, getting it together a little bit, that'll be a test. But yeah, a good one for Leeds, and so at this point I wouldn't be massively critical of them, because maybe they were a little bit jaded. It just wasn't happening for them. But in this division, unless you're extremely lucky, then bumps in the road happen.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, Leon covered the games against Middlesbrough and Blackburn, and certainly alluded in your piece after the Blackburn game to the fact that Leeds weren't absolutely at their best. I wonder if there's just a few hints here and there that maybe they need a little bit freshening up, but, you know, if that is the case, they're in a good place at the moment in terms of the, you know, the strength they've got on the bench. We're seeing an awful lot of clubs right now really badly hit by injuries. Leeds have got off pretty lightly at the moment, which is obviously a tribute to the you know, the work they're doing behind the scenes in training and sports science and all that palaver. But yeah, maybe there's a couple of things for for Daniel Farke to think about in terms of his team selection at the weekend. Yeah. He mentioned that a few of them were struggling with colds, but as I say, it's not like, you know, he looks at it and says, oh, you know, I've got a problem at, I don't know, central midfield. There's nothing to come in pretty much every position, really. I think he's got options. You know, he's got Jed Spence feeling his way back, so hopefully he should improve with every game over this month. So yeah, like Leon says, you know, that inevitably when a club like Leeds lose, there's a lot of panicking, a lot of fretting, and a lot getting worried. But I think Leon's assessment is absolutely spot on. You know, we've had this a few times this season where there's been a defeat where you're a bit like, well, where did that come from? Or that's a bit of a worry. But actually, they've been very good at getting back on the horse, and so long as they do that, I don't think we're anywhere near panic stations with Leeds right now.
I mean, still, was it nine wins in 12, isn't it now, Stuart? Which is
exactly
pretty strong. And, you know, I think you've got to factor in as well, Leeds are a big scalp in this division, you know, whether it's at Elland Road or certainly, you know, on the travels, you know, they've got that to contend with. They're the big, you know, they are, you know, I think everyone would recognise that they're the name club and the biggest club in the division with respect to one or two others. But, you know, Leeds are a name, and yeah, I think Stuart's right to say that would be one of Farke's more interesting team selections, wasn't it, on Saturday. You know, who's to say one or two of the old warriors, you know, Ayling and Cooper, but certainly Ayling, you know, maybe bring him in at right back, put the case for putting Archie Gray in midfield, you know, one or two other things as well, but good problems to have for selection points for Daniel Farke. And he certainly won't panic. He's been there many times over. You know, he's got promoted twice with Norwich, and he'll know from his time in England that it's, you know, over the course of a 9-month season, you know, it's, I think the key to success is how you react to setbacks. And, you know, on that count, Leeds have been pretty good this season.
And if ever there was a manager to just trust, it's a manager with Daniel Farke's championship record.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Hull City is where we turn to now, as they paid a visit to Yorkshire rivals Middlesbrough and claimed all 3 points in a 2-1 victory over their hosts. This sees the dip in form for the Tigers come to an end, while Michael Carrick's men see theirs continue. What were your thoughts on the game, and how can both teams use this result, Stuart?
Well, I think obviously both teams went into it on the back of consecutive defeats. Mm. And, you know, at half time in that game, there was no way really you could see anything other than a Middlesbrough win. But the nagging doubt in the back of your head was, it's only 1-0. Hull surely won't be this bad again in the second half. And Hull found a way to grind out a win, which is not really something you associate with either manager and the way they think about the game. You know, Rashinha in the pre-match press conference was talking about the last two defeats and saying, yeah, but I really look at the performance. I don't get too wrapped up in points, but, you know, I get where he's coming from. And that's exactly what Michael Carrick was saying after Wednesday's game. But when push comes to shove, ultimately you've got to get wins and you've got to get your points somewhere. And it felt really significant that Hull were able to win a game that way. And Rashinha played a huge part in it. You know, he made five substitutions in the course of 16 minutes, a couple of positional changes from the players who stayed on the pitch, changed the formation, basically changed all sorts about the team, and got the reward for it, helped massively by a big performance by Ryan Alsop. So if you're looking at it from Middlesbrough's point of view, you'd be looking at it saying, well, we really missed an opportunity there. We should have put Hull to bed in the first half when Middlesbrough were really good, Hull were really sloppy. From Hull's point of view, you look at it and you think, isn't it brilliant to win ugly? You know, the fans who were there absolutely loved it. Of course they did. The players were all over Ryan Alsop at the final whistle. Rashinha really loved watching those celebrations, and trying to do the post-match press conference afterwards was an absolute nightmare, because all you could hear was the music blaring out of the Hull City dressing room. I mean, that they really celebrated that win, because they knew what a big win it was for them. And I think Middlesbrough need to need to look at that and say, we've got to do the same. You know, we've got to find a win like that, because make no mistake about it, Middlesbrough in a really difficult spell. I'm not talking about the results. They've lost 4 and 5 now, but I'm talking about the number of injuries they've got and, you know, the difficulties they're facing. But I say there comes a time with every team where you've just got to dig something out through pure resolve. And I say, I think that's what Hull did that night. And that's what Middlesbrough got to find within themselves pretty soon, because, you know, the home fans talk about how delighted the away fans were. There were a few boos from the home fans. You could feel their frustration in the first half in the second half. And Carrick doesn't want to play himself into a position where, you know, he's put under pressure by results. Hull, you know, have sort of got themselves out of what had the potential to become a bit of a hole. But actually, you know, like we were saying about Leeds, it became really a bit of a nothing to see here moment in terms of the last few results for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think psychologically, it just seemed to be a big moment in whole season, didn't it? I think more especially with the fact that obviously the news that Philogene's going to be out, is it up to 6 weeks? He's been a huge player for all this season, their talisman in many ways. So, you know, this was obviously coming to the game on the back of the defeat at QPR. You know, the star player out for a spell. You know, suddenly the character's under the microscope a little, and obviously events in the first half when, you know, Borough were dominant and should have certainly added at least one goal to the early lead. I mean, he missed a huge chance, Jones, and I think in the context of the game, it was big. But yeah, credit to Hull, and it did show what they've got in. It was a win for the dressing room, wasn't it? As Stuart rightly said, they all gravitated towards Allsop at the end after a couple of saves, and you know, it also showed what Messina's got in his dressing room on his bench on the night to bring on, you know, people like Tufan, and obviously got the winner in Traore. And you look at Middlesbrough by contrast, there's it's an argument to say Carrick should have changed things maybe a little bit earlier, because they didn't start the second half particularly well from what I saw on the television. But he's at the minute, he's not got a lot to actually work with, and they've got to dig deep. They've got very few options up front, and you know, you fear for them if something happens to Lath in these games over Christmas, then there could be, you know, the Coburn missed the game on Wednesday, they could be without a recognised centre forward as such. So at the minute, they're just, as Stuart's right to say, they've just got to dig deep, and you know, they've given a fair bit of praise for the style of football, which is good to see, pleasing on the eye. But there comes a time in every season where you've just got to try and grind out a result or two, and that's what Middlesbrough will need to do before they can hope, you know, get to the new year. Hopefully one or two players might be returning from the to the squad from the treatment room. You know, these people like the McGrees, and Hackney's been a big miss, Force as well, but they've certainly got some work to do in January at in the business ends of the field. You know, I've mentioned about them being light at centre forward. They certainly need to bring another forward in, and also at centre half as well. Obviously Daryl Lenihan's out. Tommy Smith, Paddy McNair as well, he's out with a back injury, and also the thing in the background about his future as well. He's obviously up next summer, and he's one of the high earners there as well. So they'll be just hoping they can get to the start of the window. There's a few games until then. Just get a couple of results back on the board, and it'll be a test. They've got some key examinations. They've got to go to Rotherham over Christmas, and they've got to go to Huddersfield, who, you know, Rotherham are fighting for their lives, and Huddersfield are desperate for points as well. And they'll try and turn the games into sort of, you know, battles. And the minute with Middlesbrough, it seems to suit them when it becomes, you know, a footballing contest. But at this time of year, sometimes it's just about finding a way and becomes a fight. And you just wonder if at the minute Middlesbrough have the sort of wherewithal to to cope with that. So yeah, frustrating night for them. I mean, they played well in the first half, but Stuart's right to say it's about finishing teams off and putting them to bed when you get the chance, and game management as well. And it was, you know, there were two poor goals that they conceded on the night as well.
I think the thing is, I think both of these managers, obviously, we're talking more about Carrick in this case, have shown that they are worth backing. You know, and we know that Steve Gibson's, you know, always a good chairman in that respect, in terms of trying to find what money he can and showing patience with people. So, you know, I would really hope that Middlesbrough will look down the back of the sofa and provide the funds that Carrick needs, really, to make those changes. Because as Leon says, they are being badly stretched by injuries, and it's been a difficult old second season for Michael Carrick. But that's the way it is, and you know, it's just for him and his players to show the necessary character. And I say, I do think like Liam Rossini, I think he's a coach who gives you a lot of faith that, you know, if you give him the time, he will get things right. But I think that was a big lesson for him and for Middlesbrough, as to, you know, your principles are great, and it's really important for both those clubs that they have them. But as Leon's alluded to, there are times in a season where you just have to do the necessary. Yeah. And Middlesbrough didn't that night. Hull did.
Just a reminder of what they've lost as well, Stuart, isn't it? Especially with the injuries. Mm. You think last season they've got Akpom, who was scoring. It was about this time last year when he was sort of scoring goals for Fulham, wasn't he? And obviously Archie came in the new year to, and it, you know, he backed up with his share of goals as well. So
and even Ramsey as well. You know, was chipping in, and they sort of made light of a little bit lighter of it anyway at the start of the season with Riley McGree's form, and so Sodslaw, now he's injured. So it's definitely not easy for them. But you know, this is Championship football. It never is.
Yeah. Yeah.
There should be both. I mean, in fairness to both clubs, obviously Borough having a bit of a tougher time at the minute, and obviously Hull in the mix for the top six. There should be a fairly attractive club to join in the new year, you would have thought.
Yeah.
You know, even if there's not a who's to say whether there'll be a great deal of money spent in January, because you sort of look at the Championship and the top four are pretty much away at the minute, aren't they? You know, teams won't. I don't think Chairman will be spending to try and get into the top four as such, and having a dabble for automatic promotion. So I, you know, sort of wonder if, you know, making shrewd moves in the loan market will be big for, you know, some of these clubs who are in the top six mix. And you know, Carrick and the senior are progressive managers. They're at good clubs, and you know, the two decent stories there, so they should be able to you know, hopefully attract some decent calibre loan recruits in the new year.
And Huddersfield Town is our next stop this week, where Darren Moore's side had to settle for a point when they clashed with Bristol City before playing out a 3-1 defeat against Preston North End. This now leaves the Terriers just outside the bottom three on 21 points. With the Terriers having claimed 6 points from the last five games, how do you assess Darren Moore's time at the club so far, Leon?
Well, he's losing some supporters. It's fair to say, two wins in 14. I mean, I think in fairness, there are, you know, mitigating circumstances. Is, you know, his squad has got deficiencies in it, and it's not particularly fit for purpose, and he will need, you know, in fairness, he'll need, you know, January to try and address things. And it's, you know, it's obviously been compounded by some dreadful, you know, injury issues as well. But, you know, even accounting for that, I think Huddersfield fans were entitled to have wanted to see a little bit more. And you know, unfortunately, we've myself and Stuart have seen one or two of the bad side of Huddersfield. So, you know, so far, I did the game on Tuesday night against Preston. You know, aside from a probably 15-minute spell at the start of the second half, you know, Huddersfield were totally outclassed, in my opinion. And this is against a Preston side who've been struggling a little bit as well. They obviously started the season well, but so, some of the shine had been coming off that. But you know, they looked a pretty good side on the night and had far too much in the locker for Huddersfield. I mean, I know Stuart did the Leeds game and the was it the Cardiff one as well?
Cardiff game, yeah.
Heavily beaten. Yeah, it's just worrying the sort of regularity of some of these, you know, defeats. They've had sort of three or four under Moore now. I think he's got a fair bit on his plate, and he'll be, you know, about January, he'll be desperate to get there. But he's, you know, in terms of goodwill from supporters, it is, you know, evident at the minute. There was, you know, they gave the crowd as 17, and it was about 17,500 on Tuesday night, and I did think that was a little bit generous. There was some, you know, cavernous gaps among the crowd, and there were jeers at halftime and at the end. So he's doing it very tough at the minute, Darren Moore. Difficult for a new manager, and we've outlined the problems he's had to contend with. But you know, he'll be wanting to show a little bit more, and somehow just get to January, and we've got a lot of work to do. And you know, interesting that the Huddersfield town owner has gone on to social media as he's once a little bit and had a little bit of a dig at all concerned, really, not just more, you know, he was sort of addressing supporters' concerns, mentioning that it's not been good enough, the entertainment factor being low, and you know, talking of coming to the club in early in the new year, being aggressive in the transfer market, and you know, having it out with, you know, the sort of people in responsibility, if you like, at Huddersfield, to try and turn the situation around and you know, speak to players as well. So yeah, at the minute all isn't particularly well there at the moment, and I'm just desperate to try and chisel out a result or two before January.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we've already talked a lot today about, you know, digging in, you know, versus playing your football and all that sort of thing. And it just felt to me, as Leon said, I was at those two games in a week where they lost 8-1 and our aggregate to Cardiff and Leeds, and you looked at them then and how wide open they were, and also in Darren Moore's defence, you looked at the really long injury list they had as well, and the key players that were missing. And you know, since then they'd lost one of their next six games, and just looking on from afar, you thought, well, they're doing things ugly at the moment, but they have to, you know, in the situation they're in, they just have to lay that platform, they have to sort of get back to basics, you know. And talking before the Preston game to Moore and Josh Caroma a bit about that, and there was kind of that acceptance that circumstances meant they'd had to do that, but the point is to justify that in the tough times. You've then got to kick on from that platform, and it just felt, you know, going into this week, just gone, home games against Bristol City and Preston, that with Danny Ward fit again, you know, with Bergsorb fit, Sorba Thomas back from suspension against Preston, it was just a bit of, right, okay, you've put in the hard yards, now let's see you kick on, let's see what you've got, you know, you've got some of these attacking players back. There's fewer excuses now. Come on and play a bit of football. And you know, from reading everything Leon wrote about the Preston game, it seemed like it was the exact opposite. And it's, you know, it's only in retrospect, if they build on it and if they play some more, you know, expansive, eye-catching football, that we'll be able to say that these early weeks of Darren Moore were well spent, sort of thing. At the time, it kind of feels like just doing the necessary, but it needs to be a first step to something bigger and better. And frankly, the football that the Huddersfield fans are getting served up right now is, you know, unattractive. It's not worth watching for a lot of them. I think replacing Neil Warnock was always a hard sell for Darren Moore. So it was difficult for him to come into a club and not play that sort of eye-catching football. It had to be done, but I say that, you know, they've got to move towards that end goal. And as Leon says, the squad as it is isn't really fit for that purpose. So they need they need to do some serious work in the January transfer window. And I think there's been a lot of doubts over this year from what we've seen about just what wherewithal Kevin Nagle has to do that, because they had a very limited, unambitious summer in terms of what they spent, what they did. It will be interesting to see just what backing they're able to give him in January, because goodness knows he needs it.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he engages with supporters and he's very open and with them. And in some respects, that's to be applauded. But he'll. I think about January. It's going to be about action and not words, isn't it? Really, just feel the. In a little bit of a hole, and if results continue in the same vein and they don't have a particularly good Christmas and New Year, they're going to be right in the relegation fight, aren't they? And you look at the teams who are currently in there, and they're looking at teams to overall haul and catch, and the first name on the list is going to be Huddersfield Town at the minute, isn't it? Obviously they struggled for they chiselled out some draws, but two wins in 14, speaks for itself. And it's just a quick one on Moore as well. It's just seeing that it sort of watching Huddersfield, seems to me it's all about trying to sort of to match up or sort of combat the opposition's strength. There's not enough of. And what about Huddersfield Town? What's the Darren Moore sort of identity? And in fairness, it's difficult, isn't it, when you're low on numbers and championship ready options, but Stuart's right to say that one or two players are sort of coming back. The Danny Wards, Bergsorg, hopefully they'll be seeing Jack Madoni, who he's a huge miss for Huddersfield, isn't he? See him just before Christmas. Once you get a few of those back, but you're still not getting the wins. The fans are entitled to say, well, what's going on here? This isn't good enough. So as much as I've got some sympathy for the situation that Moore came into, he's got to, with one or two players coming back, he's got to start doing a bit more as well to get, retain the faith of support, because at the minute he's losing them by the game.
And now our attention turns to Sheffield Wednesday, who recorded their first away victory against Stoke City, which ended 1-0 for the Owls. This was then followed up by a 3-1 defeat when they faced Norwich City at Carrow Road. This now sees them 8 points off safety, and even though that seems like a large gap, the way I see it is they are slowly but surely closing that gap. What are your thoughts on the results and their position at this stage of the season, Stuart?
Going into that Norwich City game, it felt like things were really starting to move in the right direction. A draw against Leicester to back it up with two wins, and really importantly, Leon highlighted last week just how poor their away record was, to actually win a game away from home as well against a difficult team against Stoke City was really important. And again, to refer back to what we were just saying about Huddersfield, it felt like in that case, the groundwork had been laid and things were just starting to pay off a bit in terms of results. Obviously, the Norwich defeat was a setback, but when you're a team in the relegation zone, setbacks are going to happen.
Well, it's going to happen, Stuart, isn't it? I mean, if you think that the two away games that obviously went to Stoke and Norwich, I think the pragmatists among the Sheffield, if they said before those two, 3 points out of six, then I think they'd have probably taken them in the position they were. Let's not forget that in the first, is it 10, 11 games, they actually got, I think it was just 3 points, wasn't it? Which is a ridiculously low, a historically low, figure. So it has to be some sort of context there in terms of what Dami Rom walked into. And, going into the Norwich game, I think they'd taken, was it something like 10 points from 9 games? I mean, okay, it's certainly not sensational. It's not playoff form. And but it's solid. So it's a solid step. It's sort of mid-table sort of mid-table form almost, isn't it really? And exactly. A bit of a building block. So there has been incremental steps, and there's a a recognisable, you know, way of playing, developing under Rom. You know, the sort of pressing triggers, the organised, one or two, you know, individual players are stepping up. Will Volks has been playing well. Obviously, Cameron Dawson, he's been given the nod in goal. People like, you know, Diaby as well. So, you know, they're sort of looking a bit of a one or two bumps, but you know, there's some players that Rob seems to feel that he can trust and they'll be with him for the journey. And you know, he spoke as well about January and how he's, you know, he's got a clear vision in terms of, you know, players who we might want to move on and bring in. So I think the important thing to say that there is, you know, there's an inkling of hope that's been that's been built there. And okay, they're what, 8 or 9 points from safety. It's a big gap, but it's not unassailable. And you know, we've mentioned Huddersfield. They're not in the, by no means are they in the best of form. You know, a team that Wednesday will potentially thinking that they can catch. There's, you know, there's one or two others above them who, you know, one or two question marks, the likes of, you know, Plymouth and Stokes, maybe one or two others. So there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for Wednesday. And given where they were when the German came in, I think they've, you know, the fact that they've, you know, engendered a little bit of hope, you know, says something for what he's done. And they've also got two home games now in a row against QPR and Cardiff. QPR, huge game, isn't it? And,
yeah,
you know, you sort of look at the positives that Wednesday has shown lately, and you know, and they have shown them some at home, haven't they? A great result against Blackburn, you know, real fighting spirit, to nick a draw against Leicester. So yeah, even accounting for the setback in the week, 3 points from six from two away games for a side in the relegation zone, that's all right. You know, and it looks a lot better if they can win on Saturday.
Absolutely, and I'm at Hillsborough on Saturday, and it just feels like a really big opportunity for them,
yeah.
And one that they should actually be in decent shape to go into as well. So, yeah, I think that's the issue. You know, when we talk about Huddersfield and we talk about Sheffield Wednesday, the new managers have both had difficult starts in terms of results. I think the difference is that maybe at Sheffield Wednesday, the fans have been a bit more able to see.
Yeah.
Where Danny Rowell is trying to take this team. The Huddersfield fans haven't had that encouragement, and that's the step that Darren Moore needs to make. But in terms of his old club, I think there's been a bit of patience and a bit of understanding, because fans can see, okay, we're not winning these games, but if we carry on down this track, things will turn. And it does yeah. feel as though, you know, late November, early December could be that turning point with those three good results on the trot. As Leon says, if they follow it up against QPR, and particularly if they then follow it up against Cardiff, you know, yeah. suddenly you're going into Christmas and the new year and you're far more optimistic about Sheffield Wednesday's chances. You know, they're still in a difficult spot. There's still a lot of work to do. They'll need a good January transfer window. There's lots of buts. But the most important thing is, There's reasons for optimism, and, you know, as I've said about some of the other managers we talked about, there's reasons to believe from what he's done so far that Danny Rowe can turn this around.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's it, Stuart, isn't it? They've got two home games. You know, in the best case scenario, they get 6 points from those. They're up to 19 points. Okay, it's that isn't earth shattering by any means, but you know, you're thinking, what, this year you might survive with something like 46, 47. So, you know, given the context of that and the fact they've got 3 points on the first 11 games, it's actually not too bad considering, but obviously a long way to go before then. I think I mentioned as well to young Cadavata, he's come onto the scene, he's signed a new deal, and, you know, when teams are in trouble as well at the bottom, there's nothing that supporters like, then, you know, and they'll show, you know, patience and get behind a young lad who's given the chance, who show some positivity, and you know, in that regard, he's shown the bravery to start Cadamatri in the league. Likes what he's seen; he's got a couple of goals, so that's been a nice bonus for Rome as well.
I think of the three Yorkshire teams in the bottom four of the Championship, it just feels like there's more positivity, there's more light at the end of the tunnel for Sheffield Wednesday.
Mm. Yeah, I'd say so.
And next this week, we look to Rotherham United, who have announced that Liam Richardson will be the Millers' new head coach. He then oversaw his side record a 1-0 defeat when they paid a visit to West Bromwich Albion. Now, what were your thoughts on the game? And I read in your article on Liam Richardson's appointment that his brief will be to help his side evolve rather than sort of tear it up and start anew. Could you explain that for us, Stuart?
Yeah, well, I think... clearly, there's problems at Rotherham United. You don't sack your manager if everything's hunky-dory. And you're not bottom of the Championship if everything's hunky-dory. But there's good things about that club too. And I think the key is to as I say, to build on the good things rather than, you know, just rip things up and start again. And I think that's why they've chosen Liam Richardson, and that's why they looked at people like Nathan Jones as well. It was all about somebody to sort of fit into what was already there, rather than start again, because I think you know there's lots of disadvantages Rotherham have, let's face it, with their resources compared to some of the teams around them and what have you. But one thing they've got, which a lot of clubs are looking for nowadays, is a real identity about the club, about the way they play their football, and I think that's really important, because when you've got that, you can sign players around that. You know, you just have a clarity, as we talked about Middlesbrough and Hull. You know, even when things are going badly, you need to know how you're going to get out of things and how you're going to, you know, address the problems. And there was a bit of talk in Liam Richardson's unveiling about, you know, getting someone who understood the DNA of Rotherham United and was basically going to work within it. You know, and then his first game, if you can call it his first game, because he barely got through the door, sort of highlighted the deficiencies and the problems he will work with. But I think, you know, we've seen at times this season, we've seen the really good sides of Rotherham United as well as the really bad sides. And I think they're just really important. And you know, Leon's covered Rotherham for far longer than I have. He's probably best placed to just tell you a bit about the identity of Rotherham and what, you know, what gives them that leg up at times.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's historically, I think it's a little bit of, obviously, us against them, Stuart, is the right thing. But, you know, there is a little bit, you know, Rotherham, let's be honest, have got a lot of disadvantages, if you like, and hands tied behind the backs at this level than a hell of a lot of the competitors, and they've just got the best traditions of the Rotherham size, you know, from the Ronnie Moore era. Then you go on to Steve Evans, Neil Warnock. You know, it's front foot football in the face of opponents, especially at home, whether it be Millmore or across the dual carriageway now at the New York Stadium, making life really uncomfortable for opponents, being strong and organised at set pieces, you know, high energy, emptying the tank every game, and they've showcased that in the successful times in the Championship, and you know, that's what they that they're going to haul themselves out of trouble. That's what they're going to have to show on a consistent basis. You know, not a passivity about the play. Really getting up and at opponents, and you know, being fit, physically strong, and organised, all those sort of things. And you know, Liam Richardson knows his football. He's also a friend of the former manager Paul Warne, so he'll know what he'll certainly know what Rotherham United's all about. They've had some run-ins as well during the promotion season a couple of years ago from League One. You know, without being previously on the inside at Rotherham, he'll get Rotherham United. He probably had a similar thing when he was managing Wigan as well. You know, when they're at this level, they've got to show all those sort of aspects to be successful that we've spoken about regarding Rotherham. And I just think the big thing with Rotherham is it's the old elephant in the room, isn't it? It is the away forms, historically, you know. I've covered Rotherham a fair bit at this level over the years. And Alex's side, there was a spell in the 2022-23 season where it was a bit of a freak. They actually won, I think it was 6-0 on the opening day at Millwall. And they also won 6-2 at Burnley that season as well. And they were scoring goals galore on the channels at times. But, you know, pretty much by and large, apart from that little, there was also a little spell under Neil Warnock at the Great Escape where they got a few results away. It's been a really familiar story, and it's somehow getting that balance between, you know, resolute and organised and making life uncomfortable for teams at home. Doing that away on a more consistent basis, they've just not managed to sort of do it at all. And, you know, I just think it has become a bit of a historic problem for them. And, yeah, they've got a big game for them. They're all big games at the minute. But going to Plymouth on Saturday, Plymouth's home record's strong, and they'll be sort of their supporters will be fully expecting, you know, 3 points there to steady the ship a little bit, because they're down there a little bit at the bottom. So, but Rotherham, things I've talked about being hard to beat, frustrating the home crowd, and being dogged, those qualities are going to be, you know, massive in that game on Saturday. And you know, it would be interesting if Rotherham got something from that, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I just don't think Rotherham's the sort of football club that you can walk into and just try to play fantasy football, you know. No. A, because they don't have the money for it, you know, and B, that's not necessarily what fans are after. You know, I think Rotherham fans just don't want to see people passing for the sake of passing in front of them. They want to see that fight and that determination that was the hallmark of the Warnock side and the Evans side and all these great Rotherham teams. And, you know, I think Matt Taylor tried to evolve it slightly and sort of add a degree of sophistication, but he never went away from that blueprint. And although things didn't go right for him this season, you know, we mustn't forget what a great job he did keeping them up last season. And I think Richardson's just an intelligent bloke, you know, and I think he's coming and he probably thinks in exactly the same way, you know. He knows what they've got. I mean, you know, let's not over-egg it. They've got people like Ollie Rathbone and Cafu and people who can put the foot on the ball and play football. But the essence of it all is that everybody's got to be all in. Everybody's got to graft. You know, what we were talking about Sheffield United before, they can't compete with these other teams in terms of pure talent or finances to buy that talent. So they've got to have that extra edge about them. And Leon's absolutely right. You know, it's staring everyone in the face. They can do it at home. They've just got to work out how to do it away from home. Because if they can crack that side of the equation, you feel like the rest is there for them to stay up, frankly. And, you know, as we've said time after time on this podcast, so long as they stay in the division, that is a success. It's a bit depressing that we sort of have to talk in those terms about some clubs, but that is the reality. Another season of Championship football is a job well done. And I say that there's clearly a lot for Richardson to do. I say that I think that was laid bare again on Tuesday. But I think he's got the intelligence and he's got the experience of having been in that situation with Wigan and having worked at Fleetwood as well to understand that he doesn't need to come in with any highfalutin ideas. He just needs to eke out the best qualities of Rotherham more consistently. And I think that's the key for him.
I think just a quick one on that. I think, you know, having the players on deck, that's been a bit of a common theme we've spoken about. You know, Middlesbrough, the injury problems, mm-hmm. and Huddersfield, Rotherham have had a hell of a lot as well. And, you know, some sort of big players as well. I think they're sort of really missing Cafu as well at the minute. Hopefully he'll be back shortly. You know, others like Sam Lucas is out at the minute. But, you know, they have got, if they can get, you know, consistency of selection more, they have got a hell of a lot of experienced players there who've been around the block. And if they can get a couple of results, get that little bit of momentum and belief that they need, you know, they've got the characters in the dressing room and the experience to, you know, to maybe make a fight of it. But yeah, as I mentioned many times over, and probably mention again, it's just that away form simply has to improve if they're going to have a chance.
And finally for this week, I will ask Leon for his player of the week before turning to Stuart for his team of the week. So, Leon, who has caught your eye this week?
Well, I'm going to have to say, Sheffield United, a big win for them at the weekend against Brentford. And, young Andre Brooks. I mean, it was a big surprise name on the team sheet against Liverpool. You know, Chris Wilder, you know, real vote of faith there, you know, potentially baptism of fire, you know, marking Mo Salah. And, didn't look out of his depth at all. And, in a really accomplished performance, left the field with a standing ovation. And, Stuart was there on Saturday against Brentford. And, he backed it up with another excellent performance. And, you know, that's the mark of a good young player. Did that against Brentford and another, you know, deserved applause from the Unitedites. So, Andre Brooks, he's the name I'll go for this week. And, it's been a great time.
Yeah, and Stuart, which team has caught your eye?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of the team, again, sort of drawn to Sheffield, mentioned how big a win that was for Wednesday to actually do it away from home against Stoke City. But I think because of the fact they weren't able to follow that up against Norwich, probably lean more across the city. A huge win as well for Sheffield United. And, you know, as Leon's alluded to already, great to see, you know, young players involved in that. Siddy Peck coming off the bench as well as Asula and Brooks. We've said it about both Sheffield clubs. It's just given them a bit of hope, a bit of something to cling to, and that really was the most important thing that Chris Wilder had to bring straight away. So good to see them do that, and happy that they got rewarded with 3 points for it.
YorkshirePost.co.uk.
Many thanks to Stuart Rayner and Leon Wopperell, who will doubtless join us again soon for more discussions on the Yorkshire football scene. But don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the football news across Yorkshire and beyond by logging on to our website at yp.sport@nationalworld.com, or if you search for Yorkshire Post Sport, Yorkshire Post Football, or even Sheffield Sport on Facebook, you can find us there as well. If you have any questions for our writers, you can get in touch using those various Twitter or Facebook pages, or email us directly with the subject matter as footballtalkpodcast@yp.sport@nationalworld.com. As ever, many thanks for listening, look after yourselves, and bye for now.